Give us your elevator pitch as to who you are and why you should be elected.
My name is Scott Barger. I am running for county commissioner. I think I'll do a good job because I understand the role of government and that there is we have a need in specifically county government for people who not only have conservative values, but understand how to work those out, you know, in the real world. People who are able to come up with solutions, not just say conservative things, but figure out how to come up with solutions that work, you know, that are rooted in conservative principles, you know, but are workable, affordable solutions that everybody can kind of live with. You know, I'm able to do that. I think communication's super important, you know? How many times I've talked to people that they don't really know what's going on in the county, what the county government's working on, what the struggles that we're facing. And I think elected officials, leaders should do a better job of communicating those things with the people who live here. You know, we're all on the same team here, Doug. We all want the same thing. We just need to do a better job of communicating the challenges and understand, listening to the people that we serve. We can't claim to serve the people and never listen to them, you know. So I think communication is important as well. So that's my elevator speech.
What's the most important item you want to address as commissioner, and how would you do that?
I think that communication, like I said, is probably the most important thing. I've been talking to people all over the county, which, by the way, I tell people I was born in Altoona, but I didn't realize how big Blair County was until you have to drive around and talk to people all over the county. It's a big county. It's a diverse population. And what I hear back from people is this kind of disconnect from their county government. I hear that from people who are residents of Blair County who complain about not knowing where to go to get information, not being able to get information, commissioners not calling them back. And I also hear from people who work in county government that there's often obstacles to communication, even within the departments in the county. I think some basic kind of customer service approach to this stuff, like let's talk to people, let's do a better job of getting their information. That would be one thing. And then there are specific challenges that we're facing that I think will be dealt with more efficiently and effectively if we are better communicators.
Blair County voted overwhelmingly to designate Blair as a Second Amendment sanctuary. Many who voted for it have expressed dissatisfaction with the commissioner's response. What could you have done differently?
I think that first of all, it was inspiring, Doug, inspiring that the residents of Blair County organized themselves to get even to get a referendum on the ballot takes a whole heck of a lot of work. And they did that work, got the referendum on the ballot. And that in and of itself right there is a huge victory that people did that. And the referendum demanded that local lawmakers come up with an intergovernmental agreement that would make Blair County a Second Amendment sanctuary. It felt like from the outside looking in, as a person who signed the petition and voted for that referendum, that what we were given was not what we were asking for. And again, that came down to a breakdown in communication. What was expected, what was meant to be in the intergovernmental agreement, that wasn't what people were asking for. The people who did the work, who stood out in the sun, who collected the signatures, who got the referendum on the ballot, were then kind of excluded in large part from the conversation of crafting the intergovernmental agreement. What I think I'd like to do is, if at all possible, revisit that intergovernmental agreement and craft it a little bit better. I mean, it's not what the people are asking for. And maybe they can't get everything that they're asking for, but it certainly feels like we could have done better. I think we could revisit that. And if we can't, if there's some reason by law that we can't revisit and recraft the agreement, I think you organize another referendum vote and fix it that way. That would be the hard way. But I'd like to be able to revisit that and pen it a little bit better. Because what people wanted was a protection from overreach from state and federal government, Doug. That's what they wanted. And what we got was an intergovernmental agreement that, by the way, not all the municipalities signed. We haven't even done that yet. That says, hey, the Second Amendment's great. We like the Second Amendment, but we're not going to spend money to enforce any laws that infringe on the Second Amendment unless we really have to, unless the state or federal government tells us we have to, which is a kind of toothless version of what we were asking for. We wanted something that would protect us from overreach, and what we got was something that sounded like a sanctuary, you know, a sanctuary county kind of thing, but really doesn't do much.
Sheriff Jim Ott and the heads of other county departments have publicly expressed concerns with hiring and importantly, retention of employees, saying many get training on the county dime and move on to better paying jobs elsewhere. What do you think Blair County should do, and how do you do it?
Well, I think, a wise man once told me that people often confuse their needers and their wanters. And I think, and what I mean by that is sometimes we spend money on what we want and we run out of money for what we need. And I think that the first place to start with addressing that problem is to make sure government is as trim and efficient as possible, that we're not spending on money on stuff that we don't need, so that we have the ability to pay people the amount of money it takes to retain them. Turnover in the sheriff department makes things more difficult, right? We need to be able to pay these guys a wage that keeps them around. Every time we turn them over, Sheriff Ott told me, every time we turn them over, costs us upwards of $10,000, right? Every time we turn a guy over and lose him to another county. We're becoming a training ground for other counties to poach our law enforcement officers. I don't think it's good. But the only way we can get there is to make sure that we are as trim and efficient everywhere else as possible. You know, if there's an efficiency that we can implement, if there is waste somewhere that we can eliminate, we need to do that so that we're able to afford to pay the DA enough to a wage that will attract the district attorneys. He's running at about a half crew now, Doug, about half of what he needs. And that's in large part because we're not offering enough. Well, we can't offer more if we don't have the money. And if we keep wasting money on things that we don't need, we won't ever have the money without going back to the taxpayers and demanding more taxes. And I would hate to see that happen before we've earned the right to ask for more taxes by first being as efficient as possible.
Does Blair County need a new prison building? And if yes, how do you pay for it and where do you put it?
I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because the prison board has been very tight-lipped with their feasibility study. We don't know the cost of it yet. It's falling apart. I don't know if you've been in it. I was in it just a couple of weeks ago. It's falling apart. It does need attention. It can't be ignored for too long. You know, the thing's 150 years old. The oldest part's 150 years old. And the newest part's as old as I am. And that's still pretty old, you know. So something needs to be done. But do we fix up what we have? Replace it with something new? I don't know until I see that feasibility study. I would tell you that it would be tough to justify a remodeling project that substantial, but that's just from the outside looking in, Doug. I don't know without seeing the information. Something needs to be done, and I feel like the longer that we wait to do something about it, the worse it's going to get. It's like a leaky roof, you know what I mean? You don't ignore it for too long. And if we keep ignoring it, I think it gets more expensive and more problematic and puts us at risk. It does need attention. I just, without the numbers in front of me, I couldn't tell you which is better.
What has the current slate of commissioners gotten right, and what could be improved, and how would you work to improve it?
I think they're doing a good job. They've at least acknowledged that the pension fund, you know, the pension fund isn't adequately funded. In fact, I was told recently, I think AC Stickle, the controller, told me this. That we are the worst funded pension in the state of Pennsylvania, and that we're funded at something like 30% or whatever, something like that. But they're trying. They're putting money towards it. We're spending money every year to put it into the pension, but we barely, you know, so we have a liability every year that we have to pay into, and it's rare, I'm told, that we have enough to cover the liability and put a little bit extra into that pension fund. So at least they're trying to do that. They're trying to stop the bleeding. But to me, we need to get ahead of that. We can't change the pension fund because that's a legislature issue. You know, our state reps, our state senators would need to craft a new law to change the way that we do pensions. So until they do that, we're stuck with a pension that works the way that we're doing. We're doing it now. To me, we have to keep, at least they're addressing it. At least they're trying to stop the bleeding. I think we need to do better, but we can't do better without being more efficient elsewhere. Like, we can't, the money doesn't grow on trees, Doug. I keep looking for the money tree and I don't find it anywhere. So if we're going to put more into the pension fund, and we're going to have to do more, we can't do that without cutting other places first. And we have to do it because we owe it to these people to pay their pensions. They earned their pensions, whether taxpayers think it's fair or not. You know, the contract we made with these employees is that they get a pension. It needs to be funded. Right now, we're just treading water. We're just keeping our head above water with that pension fund, and we need to do better.